Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back once again, back like we never left. Back in the building with the greatest men alive, man. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's been a while, but we finally made it back here, man. It's the Band of Brothers Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, your moderator, your everything all in one, whatever you want to call me. I am the architect, and I'm back in the building with the Famous Four. Now, somebody else the Fantastic Four, so we're going to be the Famous Four. Plus some new additions that's coming along a little later, but we'll discuss that at a later time in the show. But I got my man Ro looking important as usual, man, on the phone over there. What's going on, Ro?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great, man.
Still not talking in the mic, huh? I mean, ain't nothing changing. The more things change, the more things stay the same, man.
I'm doing good. You know, I'm looking at my phone, but, you know, everything is good. It's good.
Everything is good, man.
I can't complain.
Right. Yeah.
You singing?
Good to have you back, man. I missed y'all, brother. I got to tell you, man. Wow. A lot of catching up to do. I'm just saying, exactly. I mean, perfect segue. I'm just saying, man. What's going on? He got the Ice Cube gold rope on over there and everything, looking all thuggish, man. What's going on?
I just got a simple chain on. I ain't hurting nobody.
Man, it's a gold chain on a white T-shirt with the hat down, with the beard game going. I mean, you looking...
One chain.
Right. So what's been good, man? I'm going to let you go here first before I ask my question. I'm talking to you, Say. What's going on? What's hey, good, man, in life?
Making money, man. That's it. Making money. Back in the studio with y'all. I'm feeling good. We all together.
Okay. So I hear you just recently lost your Vegas virginity, man. And it's changed your life, man.
Oh, man. I went in without no condom on. I did. I went in with no condom and I didn't pull out until I was done. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't say that. Yeah, but y'all know what I'm saying.
Yes, but from what I hear, it was kind of like that, man. So
it was. I mean, it really was. I had a ball.
Yeah, I bet
it's
you
one
did.
One of those rides you just want to happen over and over.
You right. You right. Ride. You are right.
I hear you, man.
Like, you keep calling me, man. Why you keep going?
Right.
Keep
going. He got the Pookie thing going on. Like, it's just keep calling
it's
me.
It's beyond Pookie. Man, it's beyond Pookie.
He be up in the office at the job looking at the little poster, kissing it, talking about I love you, I miss you. I'm like, man, he sprung for real, man. See, that's why.
Yeah, it's real.
I don't know.
It's real.
I don't know if you can fully let your guards out. See, when I went to Vegas, I had to keep the restraints on a little bit because, you know, once the Hulk come out, you know, it ain't easy to get him back in, you know.
I let him out. I let him out for real.
But see, I'm planning something epic because we're going down there. Either we're going down there for my birthday next year in May or for our 10-year anniversary.
You might as well go in May because that's when we all going again. Mm-hmm. So you might as well come on in May.
I say we need to just make it a B.O.B. thing. We all hit Vegas up and just make it serious.
And we start our own May Day down there.
Yeah, it'd be something epic, man. Get the cameras, make it a little reality show miniseries. It'd be
really
something, and, you know. Maybe that'd keep Justin reeled in. See, this the mistake we made last time. We wasn't on the strip, you know. We were Vegas virgins
y'all
too.
Some fools,
and see,
man,
I let my wife and them handle it. I'm like, just tell me when to be there.
You don't
and
never.
We was all off the strip, and it was
never,
just.
Let me tell you something. You don't never let the women handle nothing when you talking about Vegas,
right?
It's Vegas or your woman. If you're smart, you do both.
Right.
If you jacked up, you can only do one.
Right.
I did both.
Okay.
Yeah. No, so. Like I said, raw and uncut.
Right.
I ain't pull out till I was done.
Right. So next time we definitely have to stay. Amen. Okay. Yeah, that qualifies it. Yeah, next time we got to stay on the strip. But yeah, we're planning on doing something big because, I definitely got the Vegas itch myself. You know, Vegas, it ain't nothing like it, man. It ain't nothing like it. It literally is the entertainment capital of the world.
It is. So. Grown man's playground.
Playground.
It is.
Yeah, Ro was able to keep me
swing
intact.
It from the monkey boss, baby.
Right.
Hold on.
Right.
He ain't lying. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, man, crazy. Ooh. So with that being said, Mav, man, what's going on? What's going on, Mav?
Not much, man. I'm excited to be back in the studio with y'all today.
It's good, man. It's good to be back. So without further ado, man, let's go ahead and get right into it, man. We got a lot of different topics, man, we're going to deal with. New show program and how we putting everything together. As always, we're doing everything bigger and better because that's what we do, man. It's the Band of Brothers Radio Show. You can't expect anything else less on Culture Shock Entertainment Radio. So since we speaking about condoms and going in raw and wasn't done until we finishing all this fantastic stuff, you didn't come back with nothing, did you, Say?
What?
You came back clean?
What you mean?
Well, from Vegas. You said you went in raw and didn't stop until you was finished. You ain't come back with anything.
I did come back with something.
What you come back with?
You know what I came back with.
Nah, I don't. I might have missed that. What you coming back with?
I came back with Vegas on me.
Oh, with Vegas on you?
Still
okay.
On me.
Because apparently they got condoms for that to tell you now when, you know, something might have been in the mist that you didn't know about.
That European thing.
Yeah. So some of y'all might have read my blog. You if y'all sure didn't, did. Make sure y'all go to Culture Shock Entertainment. Check out the blog.
The blog
that
crazy.
I wrote about the color-changing condoms. Now, you know, back in the day when I was growing up, they had the color changing click, you know, the Swisher House Boys and Chameleon Air. You had the color changing paint. Yeah.
Right.
But now you got color changing condoms that'll let you know when there's an STD present.
Wow. Well, you won't find out until the lights turn on.
Wow. We about to get into all that because this is interesting.
Because I was wondering that. I was thinking that too. If it's dark, do these condoms glow in the dark?
I didn't get a chance to investigate everything because there's so many different nuances to this situation. Do you want it? If you read the blog, I ask, do you want it to glow like a pretty color to soften the mood? So when you see that, you know, something was going, you don't flip out.
When she's clean, you get that purple, you know, that nice lavender.
I'm saying, like, you know, when something come up and you're like, ooh, it turned purple, so that mean herpes was present, but ooh, it's a pretty purple, so it kind of calmed my mood, so I ain't got to choke nobody about the situation. Or does it glow radioactive, like, you know, red alert, so, you know, now I'm on edge, and, you know,
that it, red it and yellow. Kinda, like, if you on get that end, red and yellow, you need to, you need to run.
Because on one end, I'm like, this is awesome, man, you know. It's winning the war against STDs. But on the other end, it's like, I was just, like I was saying in the blog, I'm like the Drake mixtape. If you seeing this, it's already too late. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you already exposed. Inside.
It's like, and I don't know how I'm going to feel. Okay, if it turned up aqua for syphilis, okay, get you some antibiotics.
It's too late after you taste it, though.
It's too late. That's the worst. That's the worst. Because you know how some of us
but
is.
Yeah, that's how I usually go.
Especially if it smells fresh and it look right and it look pretty.
Man,
see, take a taste test.
See, you taste test it, then you put that thing taste on test. It come up red and yellow.
Oh, man.
It come up red and yellow radioactive?
You be like,
for AIDS? It come up red and yellow for AIDS? Ooh, how do you feel?
That is scary. That is, yeah, yo, you pulling out your D'Angelo now. How does it feel?
You know, it's Saturday, I should just kill myself.
No, I may kill myself, but you gonna die first. Is how I'm feeling. I mean, like I said, I can do the aqua for syphilis. I don't know if I can do the red for herpes. You know what I'm saying? Because they ain't found no cure for that yet.
Yeah.
You mean I done got all up in this all and doing my thing and?
Well, at this point,
what?
Listen, at this point, if you doing what you're doing, if you taste testing and it tastes good, and then you go in and you having a ball and that thing come up, you ain't pulling out. Half these dudes ain't gonna pull out because they already in. It's like, already in now.
Hold up, pause. So okay, so we don't know what the color index is for this situation, but we're gonna just go ahead and say lime green is HIV. Okay, so you know that's something bright, like put it out there.
Right.
So you mean to tell me if you get a glimpse of shade, you doing your thing, and you see something come up lime green, and you know that's supposed to be the color indicator, you just gonna keep going just because it's too good?
I protect it, so I'm good.
You think?
Oh, Lord. But you know what?
There you go.
But you know what? You know what? I'm going to say this. If you got those condoms, you're not tasting first. That's what those are for. If you have those condoms, you're not tasting first. Straight up. Because you need to find out whether somebody got some or not.
Okay.
If you don't have those joints and you already in and this will happen like, oh, I got one. But you didn't do that before. You screwed. So you might as well just go and do what you do. But if you got those condoms, that defeats the whole purpose of the condom. No point of tasting. So, if I got that condom, I'm not tasting nothing. I want to see what you
but
got.
But the trick is, you use the condoms a lot. No results. One day you decided, I'm going to use the condom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
But see, you know, go ahead, Mav, look like you had something to say. Like, so many ways you can dig into this thing,
you
man.
Can.
It's crazy.
Well, so me, you know, as an
not me, somebody I know.
What do you say? What are you saying, man?
No. Me, yeah, just being business minded,
right?
Me, okay. I would.
This is in the bedroom. All right.
Me being a business minded freak, you know.
That's
I would create the condom for the tongue like that, you know.
But see, here's the trap. Here's the trap with that situation, as you putting it. I mean, if you're doing it right, it's gonna get a little messy. So okay, you got your tongue covered, but the rest of your face is exposed. What, you gonna put saran wrap over your whole face?
You gotta take a little taste first. You know what I'm saying?
See, then, but this is where I think the foreplay come in.
You gotta dab.
You know what I'm saying? You get you strap you one up on your fingers, and then you explore there first, and then you see something. Then we know we can't go that route. I mean, that's about the only way you can play this one safe, because anything else would be uncivilized, you know, like right guard commercial.
Especially if she real fine. And she smell good and she look good.
That smell just gets you, but it seems like you can be hypnotized by a nice cucumber melon scent on a woman.
You don't understand, man. It's just past experiences have taught me that if you treat your kitty right and it smell real good, oh man. Uh-huh. Oh man. Ain't nothing like it.
So okay, back to what you were saying earlier. So you mean to tell me you doing your thing? Now this is all hypothetical. Obviously, we're all married men, for you know, this is hypothetical. But with that being said, there's gonna be some people out here that's testing it. So we need to do a case study for you.
Right.
So if it were you per se, and you were doing your thing, and you got a red alert on your package, you gonna keep going?
Depends on what the alert is.
So
depends on the alert, James.
It's chlamydia. Okay, we can fix chlamydia. You still going?
Chlamydia can be fixed.
You all good as long as it can be fixed.
You got a condom on, you protect. Listen. It's like going into war.
Right.
Somebody's covering you.
But your helmet might be faulty.
Hey, look like you said, chlamydia can be fixed.
I'll put it.
Chlamydia is the most simplest thing that can be. Now, this sounds very ignorant, and I know people are probably like, he's nasty. No, what I'm saying is, and before people go in there, it's a lot of people that listen to this radio show that have done the same thing without condoms and got the same disease and said, oh, well, got their thing, drank their little cup of juice or whatever, and went back to doing what they were doing. Come on, let's be real. But I'm saying right now, I'm going to be honest with you, right? And we just be totally honest. I sure not lie. I'm still going at it, dog. I didn't go lie.
I don't know, man. I just got a different mindset, I guess. I got a different mindset.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Inner Hulk in me is going to take, you know, and I'm totally against domestic violence. But I don't even think this could qualify my reaction after I find out. Because I feel like, you know, I had a conversation once I posted the blog. You know, somebody put, you know, some women don't know their bodies and know that they got diseases. I'm like, I find that hard to believe. I mean, I guess it's possible.
Well, no, you know what? But that is true. All jokes aside, we joking tonight, but all jokes aside, a lot of women don't know. It's really hard.
And they don't show symptoms?
They don't show symptoms, and I guess because it's inward, they don't really know. Like, everything could be fine. Mm-hmm. To them, it may be fine. They don't have any burning, any things like that, but they might be fine to them. And it's trust me, it's been, it's happened before.
Depending on what the disease is.
Depending on what it is.
Woman might not know.
And she might not never know.
So should she be excused from the choke out that I'm about to give her if I find out that I'm in here and, you know, it's a rainbow?
I think it depends on when you find out. If it was a one-night stand and it turned the color, I mean, you got to expect that.
You kind of got to expect that.
We've been dating, you know, a couple of months. Got to kind of expect that. And we've been dating a year. Now things got to change.
Yeah.
Because after that initial, because this is where I'm at. After that initial, you see this, right? And I ain't trying to choke nobody, but you see what happened.
This is good.
You see what happened. You see what this is. We're going to have to get that checked out. Now, this can be helped, so we're going to get you. We're going to make sure I'm good, and we're going to go. So we're going to wait 2 weeks. Yep, it's about 2 weeks. I'm just telling you.
Past
experience.
Expert.
I'm keeping all the way alive. Listen. So after that, we're going to go back to doing what we're doing. Now, here's the issue. Like Rome said.
Okay.
I go back in, and that thing turned. I immediately, you are likely to get choked out immediately. Because at this point, we've taken care of what that was.
Yeah.
Especially if that color come back or if another color come up, you gotta get it. I'm sorry, you got to. Like I know like I was saying earlier, you know, I probably still. Truth be told, it's easy to say I probably keep going, but the reality is, because you know that thing's on you and you're looking, you're going to look. Your conscience is like, look,
because you had bad experience.
Hey, dog, look at the color. Yeah. Stop. Your mind's gonna tell you, hey, stop, for real. I know you, but you gotta stop because there's an issue here.
Right.
And she either know or don't know. And you need to make her aware, hey, look at this. You see this?
Right.
This is you, not me. This is you. This is you. What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Right.
because this ain't me. This is all you. So I'm willing to excuse myself and allow you to go take care of your business. Mm-hmm. And I, because we good and I like you, like Rome said, we together. I like you, you like me. I'll give you some time to get yourself straight. We can still talk. We good. Ain't no problems. But I come back and you didn't, and yet that thing turned color again. If it turned blue again, blue? What's wrong with you, girl?
See, now you done ruined the color blue, because blue is my favorite color, and I can't look at it the same. It's just, it's so I'm wondering, like, what do you find multiple diseases? Does it come up like a rainbow?
Ooh. You know what? Yeah, probably. That's scary. Now, what if it goes blue and orange? What do you do with that? Like, what do you do with that blue and orange? Like, what do you do? How can you not choke her?
I think it'd be two colors if you release, and then it changes the color. Like, both of y'all got something.
Oh, that's scary. Oh, that's real nice.
That's when the rainbow come in. You got two colors, I got three colors. Yeah. How you judging me?
Oh, man.
That's crazy. But, hey, this thing go two ways. Hey, straight up, it do go two ways, because it could not be. It could be you.
But that's the thing. I don't think. Well,
yeah.
I guess after you finish, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure
somebody asked that question of the women chimed in. It was like, well, they need to come up with something for the men. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they're working on it, but it's not the same. It's like all of our bacterial goodness is on the inside. You know,
so
what I'm
saying? So I guess the outside is the only part that gets tested, not the inside. That's not fair.
No,
how it works technically is like it's her inside, but you're inside it. Like when you put the condom on, it's your outside.
Yeah.
So. It's kind of tricky like that. So it's interesting.
So
but
you know what? So the creative geniuses, right, this is what we're going to do right now. So this is what we're suggesting. They should have a condom that when you put it on, at about 5-10 seconds, it should turn a certain color. So we know that we good. Like it should turn gold because we golden. So okay. It should be good. So then when we go, right, so we're good. So they say, oh, he good, girl. He go in, and if it turned blue on their part, whoa, girl, wait a minute, time out.
So you need a two-way condom.
Yeah, we need a two-way condom. It got to be two ways because it really is two ways.
Hey, well, look, we can't let these 14-year-old boys have all this money. We need to get in the lab or something.
No, we need to get in this. Patent that right now.
That's crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, before we move on, when do you have this conversation? Do you have it in that, you know, after sex, you know, laying in the bed? Or do you, like, pull her on the couch and y'all talking over dinner? Or how you having this conversation when something come up?
What you mean, right then and there? Why you waiting?
I mean, I don't know. You might want to have it a little more delicate.
Jay, you're doing your thing. You're doing your thing. Like I said, the subconsciousness.
So hold on,
like,
time out.
What?
So you're doing it. You're having this conversation while you're doing your thing.
Wait, because first of all, listen, I'm sorry. When that thing changed colors, you like, whoa. I mean, your mind, it's something in you, because about that color, when you see that color, your mind's going to say, whoa. Something in you going to say, whoa. And that's going to mess with you for a second. I don't care who you are. Now, if you just don't care and you out there, whatever. I holler at it when I'm over it. No, I'm kind of like, wait. I was in a great mood, a great place. I was ready to do all these incredibly nasty things to you. Now I can't. And I'm kind of upset.
That's what my mind is like. Y'all talking about keep going and all
that. No, because the reality is, I can't. We need to address this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to eject myself, and I need to say, hey, listen, you see this, right? It's blue. It's blue. It's not supposed to be blue. You know the colors, right? We need to go to the doctor.
It may be expired.
All right.
Oh, man, yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's right.
That's crazy.
Something wrong with that. I know I ain't got nothing. Right. I know I ain't got nothing.
It's been in my wallet for 6 months.
You know, it's the heat. It's too hot out here. It's making the colors go.
It's making me.
I know I ain't got nothing.
That's the doctor talking right there.
I know I ain't got nothing.
Wow.
That is.
Now, what if they like, hey, I ain't got nothing.
That's what they got the actual doctor for.
Right, but what if the doctor say, well, she's clean? Then what do you do?
Well, we might have a lawsuit on our hand or something. I don't know. This is all the variables we present.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's interesting. Like I said, the invention, and if I didn't say it in the beginning, it was invented by 3 14-year-old boys in a European tech convention. They unveiled this invention.
Ain't that
and I
crazy,
mean, the invention though? Is awesome, but I mean,
but that's crazy. Like what if you really digging this girl? Like Romy said, y'all together, you almost love her. You go in, you do your thing. You see that blue, you get mad. Like, wait, she get mad. You claiming she didn't. She claiming she ain't. I go to the doctor. Doctor said, well, ain't nothing wrong. now you kind of like looking at each other like, why are you looking at me like that? Well, for a minute I thought, then you got a whole nother issue. So you got to sue him because that brings on a whole nother problem.
Yeah, it's a lot of issues. But what happened to the, I won't say it's too old school, but it kind of used to do it back in the day. Like, what happened to the thing before you decide to commit to go that route where y'all go both get checked out and bring y'all reports back? Nobody doing that anymore?
That ain't happening.
They don't do that no more, man. They really don't.
Too much.
Because we did that. Before we got married, Tony got checked out, I got checked out, and we were good. But it's funny, I really don't hear too many people talking about that.
Yeah, we just completely demoralized as a country.
Yeah, we're last of a dying breed.
Need to bring that back.
Wow. Just hit it. Yeah.
That really should be a requirement for marriage.
Man, oh man. So feel free to chime in. Like I said, check out.
It should be.
You guys check out the blog on CultureShockEntertainment.com. Make sure y'all look that up. Read about it. Talk about it. Comment about it. Let us know y'all thoughts about it. You know, what y'all think? What scenarios do y'all think could be presented? You know, does somebody have to die when, you know, my thing start? You know what? Pause for a minute. You know what they should come up with? Be pretty sweet. Because, you know, like you said, while you in the thing, you're in the moment. It's probably dark, all this other stuff.
Right.
They should have like a vibrating ring on it. And you know, it kind of, when you know something come up, like, hey, check that out. You know what I'm saying?
That might intensify the moment, dude.
That could go two ways. That could intensify you. That could literally kill you. Because a defect, like you said, that's a defect.
Are they talking about four or five things at once?
Like, you know, talking about Richard Pryor getting burned?
Like them fences, man. Man. Them electrical fences. Right. You better not go on this. Pull on out, bro.
Shock me.
I'm just saying so many ways we can go with it. So feel free to chime in. Go on the website. Check out the blog. We'll let it hit
a defect one? Defect one that shock you for real and knock you out? Like you just fall out?
Jeez, man.
That's like a little stun gun. A little stun gun on you.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's... So yeah, chime in, please. Because, I mean, I can go on for days with scenarios and thoughts. So, you know, anyway, moving along. You know, we're talking about condoms and infidelity and all this other stuff. Let's move on to something else that's in pop culture right now. Kind of change gears a little bit.
Crap.
So, you know, we got all these things going on in society, which, you know, Black Lives Matter and, you know, things happening with the black people. We got the president in the office and we feel like he being disrespected. We had the situation happen in the church. God bless the 9 people that lost their lives there. But that spun off into, you know, the situation with the Confederate flag. So all these different race issues going on. So, you know, it's more so, you know, blacks trying to be treated as equals. But I'm pretty sure all you guys listening have already heard. It's been around the news circles and in the cycles as well about apparently he has somebody that loves and appreciates our side. Rachel DeZoin. I'm pretty sure all you guys have heard about her, the white black chick. Apparently the woman that grew up white. And then all of a sudden she put a little, you know, kinky twist in her hair or something like that, you know, and she changed herself to being black. She was a part of the NAACP and all that fun stuff. So I actually didn't get time to really delve into it too much as far as all the background and research on it. You know, when I first saw it, I'm like, hey, man, you know, she want to be down. You know,
we are a cool race. I had no attitude about that, though. So I'm wondering how many black people that she beat out of that job, actual black people that applied for that job and didn't get it.
Right.
Yeah, they had the same qualifications as her.
Right.
Didn't get it, but that's she got it because she was a woman, a black female woman that's taken, you know, I think black female women may have more of a minority class than just being a black man. You a black woman, so we're going to sit you
right. They double minority. Yeah. Right.
So she probably beat out a black man.
But hey, you know, she could probably bring something to the table from a white person's point of view that you couldn't bring to the table to help the cause. You know what I'm saying?
She can't. Don't do that.
Why? Because she knows how that side thinks.
No. Yeah, she knows how that side thinks. But
the struggle of a black woman.
Right. There's a different mentality for a black man.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a different mentality.
They
got to
deal with
woman.
Black men. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Well, they got to deal with all types of stuff. From the time they're born to they're molded up into a young woman.
Okay.
And their mindsets are definitely different than a white person. I don't care if the white person around black people all their lives. It's not the same.
Okay.
The mindset is just definitely different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like okay, but check this out. Check this one out, though. You know, I'm just thinking, like I said, I'm trying to get privy. I'm trying to get caught up on this whole situation and everything. You know, everybody thought she was black. So naturally, she's going to be treated like a black woman. So You don't think she can empathize with our situation because she's being treated as a black person, not a white person acting black, not a white person in the black community, but she's being treated as a black person. So you don't think she can empathize with how we feel?
No, because she never went through it from the time she was a kid to the time she was grown. It's a difference.
Okay.
You know, like a black woman, she can tell you about her struggles from the time she was little to the time she was grown. And a lot of those things help mold her. You know what I'm saying? There's a story behind her. With her, she was white. Her parents are Caucasian. There was a certain upbringing. Now, I think with her parents, they were more free liberal type of parents. They were cool because she had two adoptive black siblings. So I think she kind of gleamed off of them. She had those actually close to her.
Right.
But she wasn't. She can't tell you about the struggles of being called a nigger at 13 or 12.
Okay.
She don't know about that. She doesn't know about how that made her feel because of her skin color. See
right.
what I'm saying? See, her skin color is not black. Now, she did whatever she did to make it change a little bit, but she's never been like that her whole life. See, it's one thing to be black your whole life.
Okay.
Your whole life. You know, we can tell you about the struggles of being black. That's how we were born. It's not like Caitlyn Jenner, one day I'm a man, I want to be a woman. You know, one day I'm white, I want to be black.
Right,
you just can't change like that. You just have you know, you got to embrace your culture. And right now, to me, she just seems like she's confused.
Okay. So, I'm going to spin this over to you, man. And this is what I'm thinking. You know, it's like a dichotomy here, and I get what you're saying totally. And, you know, it's not that I don't agree or disagree. I'm just, like I said, you know, trying to see the whole side of the spectrum. So, yeah, okay, she comes up, and she can't really feel what it's been like to be a black person your whole life. But I kind of look at it like this. A person that was poor at one point and did whatever they needed to do, and now they're rich. They can tell you about both sides of the fence. I can tell you how it was to be poor because I used to be poor at one point. So I can empathize and know the struggle and appreciate it and all that. But now I'm rich. So now I know what it is to live like being rich and this and that and all the benefits and perks that come with it. So I can balance those two because I know both sides of the fence. So it almost seemed like she could do the same thing. Like I know what it is to be in white culture, you know, experience white privilege. And, you know, all the things that we say white people have and that, you know, they actually do have as far as, you know, we look at it. But now I've spent. I don't know how long it was, but I spent, let's say, 15 years being black and dealing with all the black things because people actually thought I was black. So I can bring a balanced look at this thing because I have the inside scoop on white society, if you will, from a white person's standpoint. And I kind of know how I feel to be a black person because nobody knew I was white. They thought I was black. So, you know, people looked at me funny when I was in the grocery store. You know, I probably got denied for a couple loans just because, you know, they looked at me and saw, you know, big nose, kinky hair. Like, nah, I don't want none of that. So it's like I can almost bring an interesting balance to the plate and say, hey, you know, okay. Say, for instance, we sit up in NAACP office and say, hey, we're planning on doing this, this, and that. No, you might want to strategize it like this because this is what they're going to be thinking, and they might be coming from this angle. Mm-hmm. So let me know what you think, Joshua. I mean, Matt, where you at? Am I tripping? I mean, I see some benefits to it. I don't know.
I'm on your side. You know
okay.
Well, first of all, I mean, I think that we cool, and I guess she wanted to be like us anyways.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, but, yeah. Being on both sides of the fence, I do think that it would be a definitely a benefit to the NAACP. And then she was a psychologist or something. She was helping.
See, y'all
got
to help me out with this because I'm still coming up to you know, all the new information. So I don't know what she was. I just know I saw her. One picture, she was looking like Becky. And then the next picture, she was looking like Rachel, which, you know, with the quick weave in. It was like,
I think she was a psychologist. And she was helping out different people with their issues, you know. So from coming from both sides of the fence, I think it's perfect, you know.
I think somebody that she actually mentored should step up to the plate and give like a testimony or something about her character. Let them know, look, in spite of her color, she helped me out as being a poor black woman.
Yeah. Right.
Nobody has stepped up and said anything like that. So it's like, well, we got this white woman portraying to be black. And nobody's stepping up, you know.
You're right.
Testify against her, you know, her character or whatnot.
Yeah.
All right. Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense there. So I see you over there. What you doing? Researching over there, say?
No.
What you got? You just.
I don't need no research on her.
Okay.
I've done enough.
But we haven't had a white person want to be a black man. No.
You have a problem with that?
Not that we know of.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We don't know what's going on. We see a lot of posers. I mean, there's a lot of posers out there. But you just haven't been able to camouflage so well.
Remember years ago when Eddie Murphy did that little skit on Saturday Night Live?
Mm-hmm.
He had posed as a white man.
Yep.
He went to the store and got a free newspaper and things like
that.
You know, I mean, different cultures respond differently to people. It just, I don't want to change who I am.
Right.
You're black, you're black, you're white, you're
white. See, and then you got, I look at it like this too. I mean, we are a cool race, no doubt. But we deal with a lot of stuff other people don't have to deal with.
Yeah,
for you to want to come on this side, that's some love, man. Yeah. You know, I mean, you kind of seem from the outside looking in what we deal with. You sure you want to come and deal with this?
Listen, it's only love if you're going to stay this way forever. You can't just be like, okay, that's a little bit too much. I'm white.
But she got, it seemed from what I was reading, she just got exposed. It was like, I'm in it to win it. Yeah. And somebody's like, hey, no, I think I know you from somewhere else. You're not really what you say you are. But it wasn't like she was like, you know what, I'm out. It's like, look, y'all can back up off the cause. I'm on the front lines for y'all. You know what I'm saying? I'm in it. I'm like, hey, if you want to be in it like that, with all the persecution and suffering and all the stuff that's going on in society now, you want to be down like that? I can't say I'm mad at you. You know what I'm saying?
So during her interview, she should have said, I've been exposed. I am white. But throughout my life, until I die, I'm going to support everything that I do to help benefit the black community. She didn't say that.
She just said,
I don't understand the question.
No. And that's exactly how she came across.
She said, look, I've been exposed. Forgive me. But whatever I do from now on, it's going to benefit the black community, point blank.
She never said that.
No.
And as being a president, not one of the quote-unquote flunkies, you're talking about the top dog of it, and you can't say, hey, you're right, I was wrong, but here's where I stand. Let me explain why I'm like that. There was no, you know, nothing to encourage us, you know, or encourage some people that may be bitter, because you got people out there that's been fighting on the front line that necessarily is not in
the polls, you know.
That
applied for the job and didn't get it.
He
pissed.
She's probably amazingly pissed.
Right, that's crazy. So, it made me lose my thought there. Especially when she
makes a comment saying that somebody wasn't black enough. That's where you get me at, huh? He ain't black.
She's thinking black as a state of mind.
No.
You know, like this other situation we got going on in the news.
Can't nobody white tell me ain't black enough. You just can't make that. That's like me telling somebody white you ain't white enough. Huh?
People say that. People say that. But it doesn't make sense.
That's a really stupid comment. On both sides. You can't tell another race, hey, you're not such and such enough. What? What is it to be this? You don't even know what it is to be that.
Hey.
Stay in your lane. I mean, that's kind of where it's at. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's like I said, Jay, it's like me being white and saying, James, you ain't black enough. I can listen to you talk. I can watch how you do. You ain't black enough. What you think of that?
You don't act like those other guys.
Right. I'm just saying, but straight up.
I mean, I've never heard a white person say that openly. I've heard a couple of black people say that to me.
Well, that's different.
You think so?
Because they can, I mean, it's
you can quantify how black I am based on how I act?
It's an ignorant comment, but that's a comment within a race.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? A white person saying that is like totally stupid. Just like a black person telling a white person or anybody else, you know, you can't tell a Chinese person, hey, your eyes don't slant enough. You're not, you know, you don't speak, you don't know karate. So what?
You're not good at math.
It's stupid. It's really ignorant what it is. Right. It's ignorant. It's an ignorant comment.
Interesting.
It is.
Interesting indeed. So yeah, feel free to let us know what you think. I've seen a lot of people on the other side of the fence. And like I said, I'm neutral. I don't know enough to have a stance. And even if I did know enough, I probably still wouldn't have a stance. I mean, my degree of caringness is like at a 2. You know, a pretty interesting story. But let us know what you think. Visit the website, CultureShockEntertainment.com, and let us know what you think, if black people should be acting like white people should be acting like black people. If you feel like if they're down for the cause, you're cool with it. I don't know. I mean, let me know. I'm still debating. You know, she down with me for right now.
Hey, look, I'm all good. Well, she kind of cute anyway.
Right, yeah, we're discussing it over the year, so. I mean, we end up losing this whole segment if we go there, but yeah, so that's another, we're going to move on. So, anyway, moving on, I told you we had new stuff for the show, so we decided to let, you know, everybody display their personality on the show, let them do their thing, And we decided to let the first one out the gate in order to have their say, because he's such the contrarian and he loves to be on the opposite side of the fence about everything. I'm just saying, man. We're going to do the I'm Just Saying segment.
Wow.
And see.
Is that how we're doing it?
We didn't. Look, check it out. I did it like this. I didn't even ask what he wanted to talk about in the production meeting.
He did.
I just wanted to be
spontaneous.
Right, huh? In there and see what happened.
Hey, my wife said I should be more spontaneous anyway. We just had that conversation 3 days ago. So okay. This is perfect.
So here you go. This is your chance, man. Let's.
Yeah.
Let's see what you got.
I've been waiting for this. Listen, I'm just saying, man, straight up.
Okay.
Let's talk about this rainbow thing, this gay thing.
I had a feeling you were going this way. That's why I left that topic open.
Here.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest with you all. I'm a Christian, and I believe, you know, that God made man for woman and all that. But I must be honest. I cannot be hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
If I see two cute women kissing, I am lightweight aroused by that. So I cannot sit up here and throw stones like everybody else is about that. I can't. Now, listen, that's where I'm at. I had to look at it from a different lens only because I had to see where
was
I was at.
Was it rainbow lens?
No. No, it wasn't rainbow. It was blue.
Blue. Okay, gotcha.
But I'm seriously, all jokes aside, really, I really had to look at it from a lens because I thought about something. I said, man, when you see two beautiful, amazingly attractive women do things to each other, most men, and I'm going to just say for most, I can't speak for all, but me in general, boy, it's a different thing for me. And I kind of feel like a hypocrite because I'm like, hey, that's wrong. I mean, it is wrong, but man, the man in me is like,
it's right.
It's so right, but it's wrong.
This is the thing.
It's tricky. It is tricky.
I'm gonna throw this question to Mav to prove, because I know every man's gonna say what I'm saying, to understand that it's not. It may be hypocritical what you're saying, but not for why you think it's hypocritical.
Right. Help me out.
Why do you? If you see two women kissing, fine women, gorgeous women, and once again, ladies and gentlemen, and our wives, we know we're married. These are hypothetical questions here.
Hypothetically speaking,
you see two fine women kissing. Why does that turn you on? Oh, perfect break on the music right there.
Because it's just freaky. You know?
Women are freaky, sexual.
But what are you thinking when you see two fine women kissing?
Because tag women team. Are sexual.
Well,
what
yeah.
Is that? I'm thinking
us three.
You're not
right,
saying.
Right. There's room for
exactly.
Because you feel
exactly.
Like there's room for you to get in there.
Exactly.
You can picture yourself with two of them.
You're not
yes,
saying,
you
hey, gay power, you know, right, everybody has the right to do what they want. You're saying, ooh, I could probably get my way in there and have two for one. That's what you're thinking when you see that.
Just let me watch it touch something.
Right.
Right.
You're thinking there's always a chance.
I'm not saying it, like I said, I'm not saying that is right because it's wrong, but I'm being honest, y'all. I'm just gonna have to tell the truth, and I mean this wholeheartedly. I ain't there yet. I ain't there to the point where I see two beautiful women who are shaped in such a way that you just say God was just on his game with that, and they touch on each other a little bit. I'm kind of like, oh my God. Wait.
But this is the litmus test right here.
Wow.
You see two dudes doing the same thing. How do you think about it?
I'm going to get my BB gun and shoot both of them. I'm sorry.
So it's not necessarily a case of supporting homosexuality.
No, it's not. But at the same time, but you got to look at it for what it really is. That's what they're doing.
True.
I mean,
the
bottom line is they are doing a homosexual act.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why I said, man, look, from where I'm at, I can't be throwing stones. You know what I'm saying? I can't. Sit up here and get on my pulpit and do all this and be like, hey, you're wrong. But when I see something going down that physically attracts me, I'm like, wow, well, you're right, but you're wrong,
but we can make this right.
Right.
We can fix this situation.
And so that's why I said, for me, I don't have an opinion about it. My thing is this. I know what the Bible says. They know what the Bible says. It's not like they're sitting there like they're right. Some of them feel like they're right. But a lot of them, if you hear them, they say, hey, this is just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. That's great. That's what you do. But understand this. We know the bottom line of it. That's why I said, for me, I have to improve myself and be willing to go through the measures necessary to say, hey, okay, that's wrong, period. I have to look at everything and say it's wrong across the board. Because it is. It is what it is. I mean, ain't no point in me sitting up here sugarcoating it.
So you saying you willing to sacrifice your thoughts or your visions of that,
right,
that fantasy three-way to be on a balanced
right.
side.
Right, because you know what? Because let's just put it where it really needs to be put at. Let's just go all the way there. And this is just where it needs to be. When there's things that are not right that's presenting you that seems right, we know where that comes from. Mm-hmm. It's a trick. It's a trick of the enemy. Mm-hmm. It's what it is. Mm-hmm. I know how to play this sexual game with men. I know what to do with them. It's like, what do you do to get a man aroused? Well, you notice they normally, there's always two women, and they're very amazingly fine, and they'll do some type of sexual act, and the man is like, oh my God. And you have them hook, line, and sinker. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's like that.
Right.
What's the trick? You got to use certain tricks to get certain people. Mm-hmm. And it's a great trick. I mean, it is what it is. I can't sit up here and say, oh no, that's natural. That's not natural.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
And it's intriguing to the mind, mm-hmm. especially the flesh. It's very intriguing to the flesh. It's just like, wow.
Yep.
Jeez.
Two for one special. Who doesn't like a BOGO?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But like I said, I'm going to be honest with you. It's wrong across the board, but where I'm at, and I'm going to get there at some point, and I really am, because I really had to sit there and be honest with myself. I don't condone two fine women doing that. But on the flip side, I definitely don't want to see two ugly women doing it.
Right.
That sounds kind of crazy, but
right.
But you see where
it's like hitting motives. Right.
Motives,
right.
Exactly.
So, got you. But you're basically saying you need to clean out your own house first before you worry about somebody else's house.
Exactly. I have to. Okay. I have to. I really do. I mean, I have to look in and say, hey, let me look in the mirror. Because mm-hmm. there's things that ain't right with me. I ain't throwing a stone. I don't have a right to.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm at with
so,
it.
So Romeo, Pastor Romeo, for those of you who are just newly tuning in, what's your point of view on this situation? And then we'll go to Mav, and then, you know, I'll chime in, and we'll see what
well, the
with.
Bible says.
Here you go.
Ain't that how they come across?
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
This is my take on it. People of that lifestyle mm-hmm. don't live the Bible.
Right.
So they're not governed by the laws of the Bible.
Okay.
They're governed by the laws of this land.
Now, before mm-hmm. you go there, let's take it there, because there are pastors and people who are saved who say, and they'll tell you, no, I'm saved just like you.
Exactly.
So what's the response to those guys, especially pastors who are openly gay but are clergy? Ordained clergy. How do you do that? How, you know, what's the response to that? I mean, seriously, because there's quite a few guys that are actually ordained clergy.
I would just say, for me personally, they have another denomination.
I was going to say, here's the interesting part.
They do what they do in their church.
Okay.
I do what I do in my church.
Here's the interesting part with that. You know, the beautiful thing about, or I don't know if it's beautiful, but the interesting thing about Christianity, as opposed to many other things, religion in general, probably for the most part, but definitely Christianity, it's the only thing that you can claim without having any qualifications to prove that you are. Anybody can say that they're Christian. Anybody can say that they're saved and have their own qualifications and have their own interpretation of how they're going to read the scriptures. They've probably very well believed that. We believe differently. So, I mean, like I said, I'll let you finish up, Rowan. You go, Mav, and then I'll put my 2 cents in about how I think about the whole thing. But that's part of the equation on how you have to handle this and look at the whole scope of things. But go ahead, finish up, Pastor.
I mean, when Jesus was here, he hung out with prostitutes, thieves, and robbers. I don't think he was in a crowd speaking to them, condoning what they was doing mm-hmm. or rebuking them. To me, being that the law has changed, the church can preach against it forever, but that lifestyle would never change. It's a lifestyle that they have.
Right.
In order for that person to change, it has to be an inward, I guess, decision that I want to yeah. change. But if your mind is set on something, like the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. If your mind is set on that lifestyle, you're going to do you
yeah.
to
yeah.
the fullest. And that's what's happening. They're doing them. And who am I to condone them? To me, just me personally, mm-hmm. I never got a word from God to speak over the pulpit to, you know, bash them.
Right.
I don't get words like that.
Right.
My word is, you know, get you to another lifestyle so God can use you.
Right.
But like he said, you don't want to come to my church? Start your own ministry. That's what they're doing.
Right. They are.
If there's a disagreement, we got two brothers that's heterosexual. No issues with that. We don't agree. Want to lead the church and start their own ministry. So right. It's like, it's going to be I see in the future, it's going to be a lot of churches of that persuasion
Definitely.
Preaching the gospel, packing out stadiums.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Wow. And so who can we say, you know, who has the truth? We'll see at the end.
And that's, right. Go ahead, Mav. I mean, because, yeah.
Ask the question. Yeah.
Huh?
What's the question?
What you feel about this marriage law passing? Over the, have you been, you know, acclimated to everything that's going on over the past couple days?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much the basis of the question. Man. How you feel about this whole situation?
I just, man, they just nasty. That's all I can say. They nasty.
That's the math for you, boy. That's the math for you.
All I mean, just on Instagram and stuff, man, I'm just seeing gay men, and then all I could think about is they going right in the mud, you know. They hitting it right in the mud. I'm like, oh, man. That's...
So what you think when you see two cute women on their Facebook profile picture? Do you think that objectionably about that too?
I mean, for real, you know.
I told you, it's tricky, man.
Well, for real, I think like, you know, I would love the whole BOGO thing and stuff like that.
But right.
But then I'll be just thinking about, you know, how they messing their bodies up, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of women, you know, they use the sex toys and stuff like that, you know. So I'll be like, man, we just losing our women, you know. And then I'm trying to figure out, like, to me, for real, as people are dying, I'm just trying to figure out, like, how are we going to populate the world? You know, are we going to, are these women to have a kid, or are they going to go to the
sperm bank.
Donor place? And then it's like, you know, I just think down the line, like, okay, well, they don't know whose sperm they're getting. They could be getting, you know, a serial killer's, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Sperm. And I just start thinking about stuff like that. So, I mean, I definitely don't.
It's a finely weaved web that a lot of people don't realize. Yeah. I can agree with you
on
that.
It's crazy, man. You know, to me, it's just like they just messing up the world. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
For real. You know, it's just you going know down,
so,
down.
You know what was so strategic about it?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the government is very strategic.
Right.
They're very smart.
Right.
You get 9 people shot in the church, and that same week when you're burying them, that's when you go ahead and let that out.
Yeah.
I know everybody's like, well, no, it's no coincidence. Them 9 people got killed. And at the same time, they're bringing out this verdict. Like, they slipped it out of nowhere.
Right.
They slipped it out of nowhere when the country is, like, so focused on, oh, my good, race relations. We got them on race so much. Let's keep their minds so over there. Oh, by the way, if you like a man, you like a woman, y'all can get married. Do what you do.
Yeah.
Like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Like, where did it came out of nowhere?
It's like having, like, racial hate, but let's overshadow it with this rainbow.
Yeah.
Right. Rainbows make everything better.
Right.
So,
right.
With me, I'm just thinking about, you know, the world. We going down. It's like man with man, diseases.
Okay.
You know, just, I'm like, wow. And like they say, it's about to be the end of the world, you know? And you can see it. You know,
you're right.
You can see everything coming to pass right now.
That's crazy. Now, speaking of that, you made a good point. It kind of puts me where I'm at on this premise of gay marriage rights and all that and everything. Say, my thing is, and since they've been doing it when it was at the state level, and even before that when they were just talking about it, I can honestly care less whether it passed or didn't pass, because I've never been a politician, never been into politics from that level. You know, being in. Being a Christian myself, being in Christ, being in ministry and all of that stuff, I've always been a person that deal with people. I know a lot of gay people. I won't say I have gay friends, and not because of what most people think. I'm just not a person that qualifies everybody as a friend. I know people that I've known over a quarter of a century that I wouldn't call a friend. So when I say they're not friends, it doesn't mean that I'm not friendly. I know a lot of gay people that I'm absolutely okay with. They're cool, get along with them well, all that good stuff. And then you got something to get on my nerves, just like normal people.
Right.
So, you know, I deal with them right where they're at. But the whole gay marriage thing, me, honestly, more power to you. I can care less about you being able to get married and you having the same rights to benefits on your job like I do, because it's not changing your heart on the inside. You know, what I believe, my thoughts on it, my faith principles are based on the inward man. Even if we didn't pass the law, it's not changing you from being homosexual. So what difference does it make whether you can go down to the Justice of Peace and get married, or whether you can't go down to the Justice of Peace? When I deal with a person, I deal with this situation the same way I deal with the person that's a fornicator, a smoker, a cheater, a woman beater, right, all that. I don't agree with you, what you do per se, but I can still have a relationship with you, and maybe there's something I can interject, and you know, maybe you see from my point of view. If right, it's the case you don't see from my point of view, I'm not mad at you. Depending on what kind of personality type you are, what kind of chemistry you have, we may be able to deal with each other on amicable terms. We may not be able to, but it won't be based on your lifestyle preference.
Right.
Now, my lifestyle preference is what it is, and I stand firm in it, and I believe what I believe, and I'm not going to move on it. You do the same. And just like Romeo was saying, I was thinking when the verdict came down, it's like, one of us are going to find out at the end, somebody's going to be able to say, I told you so. And the sad thing, if it is from our side, what we believe, which I firmly believe is the case, what we believe is right, it's going to be too late. That's the only thing that was like the tricky part for me, is like when it comes time for things, for the smoke to settle, when the score and the score to be settled, and you end up on the wrong side of the fence, it's going to be too late to switch teams. So from that standpoint, it was like, you know, doggone it, I wish, you know, people can see. Outside of that, I'm not going to get caught up in the trap of debating with a lot of people. I don't debate anything. Like, you have people in the church, you know, some of them are apologetics. That's what they do. They debate and they want to convince everybody. That's not my ministry. I ain't doing right, it. I'm not arguing with anybody. I don't care if you're on my side or on the other side. I'm not doing right, a lot of debating. I create relationships. I go in and shed light. I do what I do. Keep it moving. If that's what y'all want to vote on, I have never even looked at a ballot to care less about whether or not you can have these rights. Have them if you want them. If other people say they don't want you to have them, don't have them. They ain't got nothing to do with me.
Right.
When I see you face to face, we'll deal with it face to face. That's how I look at the situation with homosexuality. Like I said, to be a fornicator,
right,
you know, we were talking about the color changing condoms early, you know, adding light to the topic. But, you know, obviously, you know, being in church, I don't believe in fornication either. But just like we can have an open conversation right, in the opening segment, I do the same thing with a person at my job, and or, you know, I see out on the streets, and it'd be the same situation where let's talk about it. You have your point of view on it. I have my side on it. And, you know, we'll go from there. Right. And it's the same thing with this situation. I can care less about you having rights to marry or not. You know, I like to deal with the person when I meet them, see where you're coming from, because a lot of these people have backstories, just like anybody else, just like the person that's extremely promiscuous. They're not usually promiscuous by accident. What's the backstory behind it?
Right.
Maybe there's some way I can help. Maybe there's not a way I can help.
And that's another thing. And that's why I said it's, I don't think it's a time for everybody to sit up here and start, oh, Lord, the world's about to end. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. Because, and it maybe, and I always tell people this, I say, I think back to when blacks was getting, putting on boats and getting, you know, chained up and all that stuff. I think about what they probably were thinking then. The world's got to be ending.
Right.
Because I'm getting chained, I'm getting thrown on a boat. Or I'm in a cotton field and these white people are just beating the snot out of me. Or they hanging us. The world's got to be about to end. You know, this is the end times. And I'm like, yo, there's a lot of signs of the end times. My thing is, the focus should never change, though. Our focus is love. Learn how to love. Like, why we have to change that position? Like I said, I didn't get into an argument, but there's somebody that we all know that was on Facebook, and she was trying to, you know, make her point. And I told her, I said, I can't agree with you only because when I had a really bad situation or a really bad day happen to me, and it was a life-changing event, there were 2 to 3 gay people that were there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe 4. I'll say 4. And then I didn't care about them being gay, and it wasn't about them being gay. I was looking at the heart of the matter, and they were there. They offered me support. They didn't shy away from me. One guy came up to me and said, hey, I don't know how to talk, but here's my number. He's like, listen, if you need to talk, if you need to vent, whatever, man. I've never experienced that. I don't know what that feels like, but I got a shoulder, you know what I'm saying? And he came from a pure place, not trying to hit on me or nothing like that. I knew where he was coming from. And I appreciated that because I couldn't get that from, quote unquote, a lot of the Christian community.
Right.
So for me, it was like life experience taught me one thing. You really need to learn how to love for real, because God will put you in a position where you might need a gay person to live.
Right.
You might need a gay person to get you through a door that God said, well, you're going to get through this door, and you got to get through them. Now what?
Right.
And you don't know. So it's like you can't sit up here and say, you know, like I said, I get where they're at, but you, the position of love, the govern from the book of love, can't come out of hatred. There can't be any hate in you, because then you become a hypocrite. And everything you do is just null and void. Nobody believes you. Can't believe you.
Right.
So we have to come from a point of love. Like, yo, I ain't hating on you. I know where you stand. I understand that.
Right.
But my position and my heart is love. That's where I'm at. I can't come from that. You know what I'm saying? I can't differ from that.
Right.
So that's where I'm at with it.
I think honestly, and you know, they had the little hashtag love wins. I think that both sides really need to learn and understand what love is.
Right.
We need to learn how to not always preach from the pulpit and learn how to reach people where they're at in love.
Right.
And be patient with them. Because like I said, and this is the thing that they've been throwing out, you know, from the LGBT community that I can understand and agree with, you know, is we don't know how to love. We always judgmental and things like that. And that is something that comes from the church.
All
you know,
time.
We are all judgmental. All we don't know how to be patient. Because
that with each other.
Right. And they would say this, and they were saying this, like, do you treat, you know, the murderer, the this, the that, that the same way you treat the homosexual community? Now, me, I can say I treat everybody the same on all plateaus.
Right.
But all of the people that we know in this community, it's not the same. They don't treat everybody the same. And we do need to learn how to deal with people where they're at and what they're going through. Because everything, whether it be our position or, you know, my position of faith, or whether it be an alternative lifestyle, something provoked you to go that way. So you need to understand a person's background and understand how to love it. But then on the other side with the LGBT community, you have to learn how to love as well. So the same things that you say you're fighting for, freedom of speech and being able to do what you want, this and that, have that same respect for people that don't think like you and not try to force your lifestyle on somebody else to say, well, if you don't agree and support with what I do, then you're hateful. No, it's not true. It's not that I'm hateful. I just don't agree with what you do.
Right.
And one of the first conversations we had before we started this show, we had the meeting, I told all you guys, I look forward to disagreeing with you. We're brothers. That's what the name of the show is, Band of Brothers. Mm-hmm. That don't mean just because we have opposing point of views on the thought that I hate you. It just means we have opposing point of views.
Right.
So they have to learn from that side to be understanding that everybody's not going to think like you, and that's okay. And we have to be understanding to say that, you know, this is not what we believe things should be, but I have to learn how to handle things with love and patience, because there may be an opportunity where you can help me and vice versa. If I put myself in the right position, there might be an opportunity where I can help you properly by doing things the right way.
And you gotta look at it like they've come from a place where they've been subjected to a lot of hate.
Yeah.
That's why I said you have to look at it from both lenses.
But where's my law as a black man being suppressed?
That's been an ongoing thing.
They got a law to have sex who they want to. But I'm a black man that's being suppressed under this system. Where's my law?
But that's
ain't being suppressed, brother. That's how you just living in this world, and because you living here, it is what it is.
But
that's,
you know,
that's crazy.
That's been gaining a lot of ground. I've been seeing it all over Facebook. Now legalized being black. That's been like the new trend, if you will. So it's out there, and that's definitely a topic we'll probably touch on at a later date. But without further ado, I told you we have a lot of other segments. And because, you know, we went over on time, we're not going to bring it to you this week. But, you know, the doctor is in the house, and I feel the need to, you know, let the doctor speak on the things of love and happiness, if you will. So, you know, we're going to be bringing to you the love doctor segment.
Oh yeah,
the love doctor's going to be in the house next week, y'all. So y'all better get ready.
Candles.
So yeah, so be on the lookout for that. We're going to have the love doctor in here dropping us some knowledge. We're going to have Maverick one of these days when he comes up with it with the did he just say that segment? You know, because he hits us with something every week, so he's going to give us something, you know, regardless. So we're going to let him have his own did he just say that segment. And then, you know, every now and then I'm going to drop in, you know, I got this thing that I do with myself alone. It's called thinking out loud.
Oh, no. I'm about to say, what you mean you do alone?
Yeah, I do it to this music right here when I'm alone all by myself, you know.
Girl.
Yeah. And my Barry White voice. No, but we're not talking about that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about the thinking out loud segment. You finally get to get a peek into the mind of the architect. And if you haven't gotten a chance to get close to me, the mind of the architect is different. So don't be shocked and alarmed when I have a moment where I just want to think out loud on the radio show the kind of things I come up with and what I say. But I'm interested in this love segment, man. What you going to give us, Ro, before we close out of this show? What can we get a feel of?
Wait. Make sure all the lights is on.
We might need to dim the lights and get some red lights up in here.
Listen, there's four brothers in. We ain't dimming no lights. Then we just get to talking about this. We ain't dimming no lights. Go ahead, man.
He got his old blazer on.
You better not see. I know that. Look at him. Look at
it. So give you some education on how to pop those bras and curl those toes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can dig it. I can dig it. We are looking forward to that next week. The Love Doctor segment.
This
y'all.
Man is amazing. I'm done.
Yes.
I am done.
Yes. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Band of Brothers Radio Show. It's nothing like it on the radio. I got to tell you, it's nothing again. Like it out here.
Where do you come up with this stuff?
We love y'all, man. We love y'all. We thank y'all. Thank you for tuning in. Continue to tune in.
There's no script.
CultureShockEntertainment.com. CSEradio.caster.fm. Every Friday at 8 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be here. I don't know how we come. We might be coming.
Popping bras and curling toes.
We might just come straight out the gate with the Love Doctor segment. It might be a whole Love Doctor show. I don't know. But make sure you guys visit us. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, all that good stuff. Find us on social media somewhere. Just put in Culture Shock Entertainment. We'll be there for your listening and viewing pleasures. We love y'all. It's the Tech.
Oh, man.
Say, Mav, Romeo. We're out of here. Love, peace, and hair grease, baby.
Wow.
Girl, I'm thinking about you.